Good evening, everyone, and how awesome is it to finally be here? What I'd like to do tonight in a way of a meditation is share some lessons that jumped out to me at the last study weekend that we just had, when we had Brother John A. Lawson take a look at the life of King Jehoshaphat and his dad, King Asa. And these fellas reigned at the same time as Elijah, so it pretty much ties in with this week. And one thing that I really thought about was the dramatic changes that these two men made in their life. They didn't want to be like everyone in the land and worship false idols. And in 1 Kings 15 verse 12 says, "He also put away the male prostitutes from the land and removed all the idols which his father had made. He also removed Maacah, his mother, from being queen because she had made a horrid image. And Asa cut down her horrid image and burned it at the brook Kedron." And after reading that verse, those verses, and seeing how King Asa and King Jehoshaphat didn't want to be like their fathers and worship false wooden hairy gods, but rather seek a living God. And the one question that I asked myself was, and I want you to think about this, what idols are in your thoughts, in your day-to-day life? You're probably thinking, well, Foz, you're a bit strange, mate, because I don't go around each day thinking of wooden, hairy stick images. But the idols in our life today, at 10 p.m, the 6th of July, 2008, they come in so many different shapes, sizes, colours, flavours and sounds. And the question that I want to ask you right now, if I were to get this computer cord and stick it into your brain somehow and connect the other end to that projector over there so that all of us here tonight may see our past thoughts of the last 24 hours, would you be embarrassed or ashamed or happy of what we would all see? And what I want to do tonight is take a look at some idols that we all struggle with each and every day as a young person in the truth. And I want you to work out for yourself, where are these issues standing in your life today? Are they getting pushed in front of God? One idol that I thought of was wealth and money. Well, as we all know, that money is something that we all need to get by in life. And there's nothing wrong with being rich. We know Jacob and Job, they were rich people. But is your main focus in your life all about earning more money and having everything at your fingertips? It's kind of funny. The other day I was chatting to this girl that I work with. And I said to her, "How's your day going, Tanya?" And she said, "Oh, Fozzie, I've had such a bad week. I just hold my hands each day and wish that I could wake up one morning and win $20 million. On the local lotto draw, then life and all my problems and issues will just go away and life will be so much easier and I will then be 100% happy." After thinking about this for a couple of seconds, I said, "Tanya, do you really think that money will solve all your problems in your life?" And she laughed and said, "Yeah, for sure. How good will it be to sit on a beach in sunny Fiji, sipping cocktails all day and all night long, just letting all your problems wash away with the Fijian water?" And I said to her, "I can show you that money will not bring you happiness." And she said, "Well, how then?" And I said, "Tanya, I had a brother once who was actually a multi-billionaire. He wasn't a millionaire, but he actually was a billionaire. He had that much money, some people used to say that he would never ever spend his entire fortune in six lifetimes. At this point, I think Tanya was inquiring to know if he was single. And I said, "Tanya, I'm sorry, he's not." And Tanya replied, "Oh, I know, let me guess, he's married." And actually, I said, yes, he was. He had over 1,000 wives and hundreds of concubines. And at this point, the phone conversation went a bit dead for about 6 seconds. And after I finished joking around with her, I told her the story about King Solomon, how he had everything his eyes ever wanted. If he wanted to go on a trip to Australia for a suntan, bang, he was on a boat heading for the white sandy beaches of the Gold Coast. If he wanted the fastest camel in all the land, bang, he got it. If he wanted another wife, 200, he got it. And if he wanted a bath full of gold and silver, 2 seconds later, he had a bath full of gold and silver and hundreds of ladies around him with food and wine. And Tanya laughed and said, "What a life. I bet you he was a happy camper." And I said to her, I said to Tanya, "Do you know what his outlook on life was as he got older and near death?" And Tanya said, "What was it?" I quoted Ecclesiastes chapter 14. "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind." As I explained to her, no matter how much money or wealth you accumulate in your life, and how you may please your own lusting desires or the flesh, you are chasing the wind. And King Solomon says, in other words, you will never find true happiness in money or wealth in this life. See, she kind of had a laugh, but I really don't think it sunk in for her. And unfortunately, that's just like so many people in the world that we live in today. And another idol in our life that can be, and that is chicky babes or girls. Or for the ladies, it could be dreaming of that guy you really, really like. For example, thinking about Brad Pitt or Philemon Burney. What a spunk! Take a look at him. He's a dish. He's single, ladies, as well. Sorry, Phil. But what can happen is all our time at a class or a study weekend can be spent thinking, "I think he just looked at me. Yeah, he likes me. Or she likes me." 20 minutes later, "I said hello to him today, but he didn't say anything back. He must hate me so much." And what happens is we can be totally focused on him or her for 24/7. And as a young person in the truth, we can all get to a stage in our life that we might be at a Bible school or a CYC class, and you're trying to listen to the speaker and figure out, what is he talking about? And as you get a little bored and a bit fidgety in your seat, then you start to play noughts and crosses with the person next to you, and you feel the gravity slowly catching up to your eyes, and they start to get very heavy. So you try and keep awake. So you spread your eyes across the room and search out the wildlife, or the chicky babes, as some of the young guys call it. And all of a sudden, wow, you see the most beautifulest thing that your eyes have ever focused on. And for that whole class or that whole weekend, you look up at the speaker and all you hear from him is blah, 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 brothers and sisters and young people. And you have no idea what he is saying. And the speaker could be looking at you saying, "Fozzie, I've just been informed that your ute has been stolen from the Bible school car park." And you're sitting there like an idiot, smiling away while dribbling on your shirt, looking up at the roof lights, just thinking to yourself, "Oh, Karen Stone. Oh, Karen. Sorry, Kez." And you could be sitting there going, "Oh, Karen, What a lovely, lovely name. And you're looking up at the lights. And you're looking up at the lights and they're glimmering away above your head. And you're thinking to yourself, those lights are just so bright, so beautiful, so nice. They sparkle, just like Karen's eyes. And for that whole study week, you are 100% totally consumed in him or her. And the word of God is bouncing off your brain into the thin Bible school air. In another scenario, you could be in a situation that you feel that you could feel in your heart 100% that you know that you will never, ever, ever get married or have a relationship, nor ever fall in love and have a family of your own. And I've heard this comment a million times. It's such a drought. There's no guys or girls in Christadelphia anymore. All the good ones are married or overseas or at Punch Bowl. And there is no one left. Sorry. And there's no one left for me. And God's forgot about me. What we all do is we have a tendency to look where our feet are placed right now. But we forget at times and we don't open our mind to the bigger picture where our feet will be in the future. And that is in the kingdom. When we won't be married or in a relationship. And that's the most important thing that we all have to focus on. And another idol in our life that absolutely makes me laugh at times that so many people talk about is fashion, celebrities. I want to be trendy, just like Brad Pitt, or as slim as Jennifer Hawkins. I want to be popular and famous amongst my friends and have all the trendy, cool shirts and brand name watches, handbags and the fastest car. And the other day I was at Coles and I was lining up in the queue and there was these two old ladies in front of me. And I was flicking through this magazine called Famous or Woman's Weekly and all of a sudden one of the ladies said, "Look, Shazza, Britney's put on 4 pounds. Oh my gosh." And it scared the life out of me. It was like they had lost their own child. But for the next 5 minutes, all they waffled on about was how Britney Spears put on a couple of pounds over Christmas. And somehow it seemed like the end of the world for them. I actually have this mag here tonight. I didn't buy it because I'd much rather waste my $4.50 on a packet of Tim Tams. But while I was working, I found this magazine in a bin. I had a flick through it. Sorry. It's all right, you can't smell anything, it's fine. I actually had a flick through it, and I was blown away by the shallowness and the vanity of the things that people were saying about each other. How Paris Hilton had a $20,000 watch. Ooh. And they were making speculations over photographs that they took of different celebrities having affairs with different people. The people in the world love making up gossip and bagging out other people because it sells papers, which makes them a lot of money. And the world just craves this stuff, just like a drug. And we have to be very careful about these things that we don't get caught amongst them ourselves. And in my old job, I used to work for a coach company and we had this special motorhome that we had built and it was the biggest in Australia. We used to transport celebrities and rock and roll stars around Australia. Various artists were Robbie Williams, Snoop Dogg, Russell Crowe, Jack Johnson, Elton John. And one trip I never forgot about was a band called Grinspoon. I remember once I was checking over the coach for its departure to Queensland. I remember lifting up the luggage bin doors and checking various engine spare parts. And one thing that stood out to me was the amount of alcohol that was on board. There were so many cases of beer, I lost count. And I thought it'd probably be at least 2 years' supply for about 4 blokes. Until one of the roadies said to me, "Hey, Foz, it's just enough to get them to Queensland." I was pretty blown away by that. And over time, speaking to various people and drivers and seeing for myself how they acted and lived, the stories that I heard, it would make my mouth drop even more. And I come to the conclusion that so many of these celebrities have so much money, but they really don't have true happiness in their life or any true, real hope. So by doing drugs and consuming massive amount of alcohol, that's how they deal with their issues in life. And another massive idol in our life that I've spoken to a lot of people about is the internet. TV, DVDs and music. And with the internet can come many problems. For example, one is Facebook. There's nothing wrong with Facebook, I want to make that pretty clear. But it can be a massive time consumer and we can forget about doing the important things. And when it comes to doing the readings after dinner or a lunch break when you're at school or work, we can say, and I must admit, I do this a lot, oh, I just want to see who's online right now. And before you know it, you're chatting away for hours to friends and the readings just get pushed aside. The TV, I personally think, can be a great tool to use. It can be a great tool if it's used carefully under the right conditions. One thing that I like to do is watch the news. I like to see current events overseas and what's happening in the world news, because I feel that it's an important thing to take note of. Also, I love watching Bible DVDs. They're great. I find for myself that it helps me a lot more to paint a picture in my mind of a certain topic that I may be looking at. But as I said to you before, you have to govern the things that you look at. I remember hearing Uncle Shane Kirkwood once say at a past study weekend, "You only get out what you put in. You only get out what you put in." I thought about that at the last study weekend we just had. If some of you were there, remember on the games night that we had, one of the challenges that some poor people had to do was eat as much garlic as they could in under 2 minutes. I can still remember the smell today. But what happens is, once you eat that garlic, it goes deep into your digestive system and it starts to break down inside your belly. Over a period of time, your body starts to sweat and the garlic starts to seep out your sweat glands. And when some poor person happens to come too close to you, like I did to David Bowie, he stunk of garlic really bad. Even though he may have brushed his teeth 1,000 times or had 6 hot soapy showers, you still can't remove the smell from your body and you are stained with that for a couple of days. And the same situation applies to what you're watching on the TV or DVDs or music. It's just like eating the garlic. The things that you watch go into your brain and they are stored there for a certain period of time. Every now and then those things might pop up at random and you can go through your brain for the whole day. It's just like when you hear a really bad love song that you just can't get out of your head. These things can affect your walk in the truth as a young person. For example, watching shows like Desperate Housewives or Sex in the City or any show that may have immoral scenes or language that isn't Christ-like. If you're like me and you're into motorbike riding or surfing or snowboarding, or try to, and there's nothing wrong with watching that kind of stuff. God wants you to have fun and enjoy yourself. But as I said to you before, you have to be very careful of the things that are going through your eyes and ears, because these things can put a stain on your brain for a very long time. And what I'm trying to do at the moment in my life is, which can be very hard at times, is to think, okay, Fozzie, I'm going to watch a movie tonight with my chicky babe or a younger brother or a mate or sister. And God says to me, hey, Fozzie, I'm sending you one of my angels tonight to tag along with you guys. And you have to ask yourself the question, will that angel be happy with what you are seeing or hearing? So after going through these things, you're probably thinking, okay, Fozzie, I have one or more of these idols in my life now. And it's affecting my walk in the truth. And I'm too embarrassed to confess it to my parents, or I don't think that I can trust my friends in the meeting. They might say something to people or my parents, and I might get into some deep trouble. The first thing that you have to do is, as some of you know, that I have a cleaning business. And one thing that I'm an expert at is mopping and sweeping floors. What you have to do with these idols or issues in your life is firstly, get one of these fellas. Oh, it's called a broom. And the broom's purpose is to sweep the floor or your mind of any dirt or rubbish that is laying around. This may need to be done a few times because you might miss some bits and pieces. In other words, push away any rubbish that is in your mind, whether it's bad music, full of swearing, going to the movies that are watching things that are violent or have sexual material in it, telling jokes that aren't really suitable with the boys, and the list is endless. So many of these things I get caught up with myself at times, and if anyone happens to have a dictionary on them, if you can look up the word contradictory, you'll pretty much see my picture next to it, because I'm human and I make mistakes all the time. But you have to start by trying your best to change the things that enter your mind each day, one step at a time. And how you defeat these problems is firstly and most importantly, go for a walk or sit next to your bed, somewhere that you can be alone and not distracted. And what you have to do is this. Just like that word was used to describe Judas Iscariot's guts spilled out all over the ground when he hung himself from the tree, you have to spill out all your fleshly thoughts in your mind onto God's ears and ask him for help. Tell him how you are struggling each day with these issues or idols, and the problems are like walking across the face of Mount Everest, which is the world's biggest mountain. And what we do is we look up these mountains or problems that we are faced with, and we think to ourselves, there is no way in the world that we can conquer the world's biggest mountain. So many people look at the mountain or our sins in our daily life from the bottom of the mountain and say, I can't climb this mountain. It's too big of a challenge for me. There is no way that I can overcome it. And what they do is they turn their back and give up without even trying. But with God who made Mount Everest, he sees our problems, he knows our struggles, and he's there to help us through it. Because with God, all things are possible. But I'll let you in on a little secret. Mount Everest was conquered by a few men and women throughout history. These men and women had a passion and a determination in their mind to do it. They trained and they were ready and prepared for the journey ahead of them. And young people, they did it. Our idols in our life can be overcome. It just takes training and God's help. We can overcome the temptations in our life if we get spiritual things into our brain in some way or another. I love listening to my iPod every single day, whether I'm mopping a dirty floor at Heritage College or just wilderness time by myself or meditation or just sitting on the beach at Cronulla for about 5 hours on my lunch break, just overlooking the beautiful blue ocean and running my hands through the white sandy beach, just trying to push all my problems and issues in my life aside and just to think about God. And I tell you what, the more times you listen to Bible talks and you read your Bible and that word gets tattooed into your brain, I bet you all here tonight, if you do what I just mentioned, it will blow your socks off and it will change your life forever. I know that for a fact that it does happen because I've tried it myself. It's hard at times and it's not an easy road. It's always challenging every second of every day. And if I don't listen to my iPod or do my daily Bible readings or just have God in my mind throughout the day at work or at school, those bad thoughts will start to creep slowly into my mind. Just like a bird that's building a nest. It only starts off with one small stick to lay a foundation. But as time goes by, they accumulate into a massive nest or a problem. And I'd like to finish by showing you something that I think is pretty cool. And I feel it's the best way I personally that I personally feel, how to describe to someone seeing the Word of God jump out to you. This is a book. This is a book that I found many years ago in a shop. And some of you may have seen these books before. This has a three-dimensional... They have a three-dimensional picture inside. And when you open it for the first time, you can't see the real picture straight away. It just looks like a lot of colours and dots and really weird objects splashed across the page. But what you have to do is this. The instructions say... Where are they? You have to place this book, okay, 5 centimetres away from your head, all right? And you have to slowly move it away from your eyes. And what happens is, as this book is moving away from your eyes or from your face, your eyes start to slowly adjust to the picture. And all those funny colours and shapes and objects over time start to form some type of a picture. It doesn't happen straight away for everyone. It took me nearly 30 minutes to figure it out. It's a bit longer. But when you sit there and you look at it and your eyes start to adjust to see what's in front of you, boom! That picture jumps right out to you and it nearly knocks you off your feet. But there are so many people in life who can stare at this picture or a Bible, and because this image doesn't jump out to them straight away, they make no real effort to see the real picture come to life. And all it will ever be to them is just a book with a few colours. This week, young people, we have an opportunity to help each other to sweep our minds clear of worldly things that continually pollute our mind each and every day. This week, as we look at the life of Elijah, let each of us lift up this book to our eyes and focus on it for as long as we have to, until we see the Word of God and God's purpose jump right out and reveal itself to us.